The Brigade, a game about a town called Tinderbox that mysteriously catches fire. It's up to the players to be heroic and save the city to become the new Fire Chief. Now available on Kickstarter.
Welcome to another episode of Dice Hard, where we take your favorite movies and turn them into tabletop games. And now your host, Alex.
Welcome to another episode of Dice Hard. This will be the second episode in the Brigade trilogy, where we're doing another fire-themed movie. And today we have our very special guest, Dan May.
Hey, you guys.
And I've got my very, very special regular and best good-looking guest, Cal.
Hi, what's going on?
And then you do your intro.
Okay, a brood of fire-breathing dragons emerges from the earth and begins setting everything ablaze, establishing dominance over the planet. It is Reign of Fire.
Reign of Fire. This is a classic dragon movie from 2002 when I looked it up, and I remember watching it. I was in high school still, so I remember watching it at the cinemas and going, oh my god, this is going to be the best movie ever, because I was really into like 80s action movies and dragons were awesome and this movie was really, really cool. And it actually sort of, I quite enjoyed it recently as well.
Hearing the word classic and dragon movie in the same sentence is weird, but
okay.
But sure, like, it's, I had fun. I don't know if I enjoyed it. We're not reviewing the movie.
Yeah, it took me probably three watches to get it. I think the last watch I had, which was last night, I probably went, okay, yeah, cool, I get it. I sort of stopped trying to make it something it wasn't, you know, thinking of it something different and just let it happen. It was pretty cool. It's pretty intense.
I had the first player to be the last person who touched a lizard.
That's good.
I had a couple. I had last person that was sunburnt.
Oh yeah.
And the person that can do the best rough English accent.
Oh. Oh, I like that one. Because that means we all have to try and do a rough accent. Yeah, it means we all have to try and do a rough English accent.
Oh no, not on air. Just make people at home do it.
I'm terrible at accents. Yeah. I can do a French one, but that's all I can do.
Is it outrageous?
No, it's quite good, actually. It's just whenever I try and do an English one, it always ends up sounding Scottish. And if I try and do a Scottish one, it sounds Irish. If I try and do an Irish one, it sounds like, I don't know, German or something.
Yeah, I can't actually. I don't know if I can do one either, so
I'll give it a try. Give it a go.
Right, you stupid dragon blighter, I'll come and smack you in the head.
Oh, I don't know if I could ever beat that.
No, that's perfect. Go with that.
With years of practice, I don't think I could do better. You win.
All right, cool. That was easy. All right.
Oh man, first I feel player. That's rude on our behalf, but go for it.
All right, cool. So I sort of thought the film was kind of weird in that it had sort of two bits, right, two parts to it, I thought, that were kind of like embodied by the two characters, like Quinn, the kind of the more reserved sort of guy, and Denton, who's just the nut job wanting to kill the dragons, you know, at all costs. That sort of either outlasting the dragons or destroying them.
Yep.
So I sort of thought that's a kind of a cool dynamic that would, you know, a game could kind of hinge around. And so the outlasting part, I sort of felt like, you know, was summed up by kind of like almost like a resource management type thing. You know, you got food, people, shelter, weapons, knowledge about the dragons and that sort of stuff. And then the other side of the coin is just like pure combat, like all that tactical combat that's in the game, that's all just crazy sort of physics, jumping out of helicopters and flying into dragon mouths and just crazy stuff, you know. So I was trying to think of like how to combine that in a fun way, and I just sort of thought of something that would kind of be novel that we could possibly talk about if we select this one, which was to do like a physics-based resource management and tactical combat. So,
oh, combining them both.
Yeah, so imagine you've got like these cardboard standees that you're using as like workers, almost moving around this sort of large board, They're scouting, finding information, you know, growing food in those little crops they have and trying to avoid getting attacked by dragons and stuff. And they have their vehicles. And then, so imagine like, you know, your cardboard standees with little plastic pieces on the bottom.
Yep.
And the combat aspect is like actual physics-based dexterity where one of the players plays like the dragon and is actually using their breath to like attack and blow over all the standees and stuff. So you have different sorts of size standee bases. Some are easier to blow over, some others, you know, some others aren't.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
That's and, so good.
And yeah, and so you're sort of like trying to build, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to build up all your resources and gather all this stuff, and then as it gets towards the end of the game, you're actually sort of taking all these cubes and euro things that you've collected and stuff, and they actually become like the physical dexterity weapons that you're hurling at the dragon, and the dragon player's able to attack from different directions and stuff, you know, so I won't go into all the details, but that's sort of the elevator pitch of it.
Oh, I like it a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
And I tested it out, and it's kind of fun to pretend to be a dragon. And
we've done the research on this.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say I was running around the house pretending to be a dragon, but my idea was to have a different sort of dragon deck. So I focused on the combat part. I looked at the farming bit, but I was like, you know, we're doing a dragon movie. It's got to have something to do more with the dragons. So I wanted to hunt them. So everyone's sort of a dragon hunter, and we're all trying to rack up trophies. And I had different dragon decks. So you'd put hidden dragons in locations. So you'd have like a board, and you'd move into a location, and there'd be like, you know, a random number of cards there. So you might go into a more populated area and it'll have like three or four cards, or a less populated area might only have one or two cards, so it would be specified on the board. And the dragons are random, so you go there, you reveal the top card because you find a dragon, it tells you what dragon is there, and that dragon has a specific dragon deck of maybe like 10 cards, and it has different moves. So one of the parts, and this is the part where he gets eaten, which I thought was fantastic at the end.
Yeah.
as if trying to jump off a building with an axe is going to take down a dragon. He made this one comment, and it was, the dragon's going to do a Passover in about 8 seconds, and then we have our window. And I thought, oh, that's really good. So each deck would be a range of moves, and the moves would have sort of like a timing effect. So if the dragon was to sort of sweep over the top, it's obviously going really fast and just going past you, so it will try and eat you on the way, but then you have a gap where you can sort of set up other moves or set up traps or something like that. So maybe a sweep gives you three cards to play, and you would set up something that would damage the dragon. And there'd be fast moves and slow moves. You just sort of reveal cards off the top of the deck because you don't know what the dragon's going to do next, but that's the dragon AI. Because the dragons are different, you've got the big male dragon that just, you know, focuses on raw power and has heaps of health, but you might have like little dragons that are really fast and speedy, and you don't really get much time to set up traps. And it would sort of be like a deck building game, so you learn over time, and you get to build your deck up and go into the next part and go into the next part and just try and hunt more dragons before you eventually die or you escape.
Yeah, I like the timing part of it. That's cool. Some simple way of using cards to create like a timing where, okay, and then here's the dragon and now we've got our opportunity, and then it passes maybe. Because that happens in the movie all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I thought like, The cool thing about it being
is it
being like a bit of a deck building. No, it would be individual for trophies. The cool thing about it being deck building is that you have to really choose what locations you're going into, because you don't get to build up your deck until you finish that location or you escape back out. So if you go into a den that has maybe three dragons, you're going to have to beat three dragons before you get to improve your deck. So going into a den that only has one dragon, Will help you improve your deck a little bit, so maybe then you go into a den that has two dragons. Or you just risk it and you try and beat all three dragons with heaps of rewards, which lets you just keep going and attacking whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you could have it somehow build up to maybe the last guy or something, the big dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's an end game or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's good. Cal?
Right. Well, I didn't have anything anywhere near as sort of... like well thought out as you guys, I guess, is I feel like I've been doing the show for too long. I've been falling back on like as soon as I saw the scene with the male dragon cannibalizing all the little ones and that sort of attack on the final dragon, all I was thinking of was the thing we made for Battleship. And the idea of like the AI deck and that sort of stuff.
It's still a valid idea.
yeah, but that's like I feel like everything that I've come up with, well, I haven't come up with a whole lot, but anything that I came up with was sort of just stuff that we'd already said. I think that I can't even decide between which one of you guys are like the most.
It's a challenging movie to do, I thought, because it's sort of very narrow in a way. It's sort of so focused and minimal a movie, you know, in a way.
Mm. Well, and dragons are a hard thing to represent on a flat sort of board. And
you want them to be animated.
Yeah, well, because that's the main thing about them. Otherwise, they're just... lizards, or just Monster X, if they're not flying around and on the ground and breathing fire and huge, it's
that's okay.
I don't have a whole lot more to add, I don't think, as far as my own personal ideas go for this.
That's okay. You know what, you need to play more board games with us.
I think I do. Yeah, we need to stop doing these over Skype again.
And actually, the idea came to me a little bit when we were playing Viticulture yesterday, and when Alex was so far in front, and I said, "This is the point where we get to burn Alex's winery to
vine
the ground."
Fields, yeah. Dan and I got a good board gaming session in yesterday, so yeah, you got a rain of fire joke in there. Alright, well, I'm quite happy to go with the guest's idea because, I have mine all the time. I get to do this all the time. so let's go with trying to grow fields and blow down people.
Yeah, I think that sounds like the more, at least engineering-wise, more of a challenge.
There's some issues, some problems to be solved.
I like this. Okay, so how would this work out initially? Like, what would we be starting with, do you reckon, Dan?
Okay, well, I'm sort of thinking... So there's a few ways we could do the dragon. So we could just have, I think one player, they could just breathe. They could blow. We could have, some sort of little component or something which you attach a drinking straw to or something. So there's,
more concentrated
there,
yep.
With how we do that. I think we could solve that problem somehow to come up with the best sort of mechanism for how it would work, how much it would blow things over.
Yeah.
And I think the cardboard standees, same sort of thing. There'd be ways to sort of reinforce some more than others. You could do things like turn them side on, so obviously if something's sort of side on to the dragon, it's less likely to get knocked over and that sort of stuff.
And you have to blow from a specific direction.
I think that would be sort of the dragon's, because part of it, which is that thing like that Quinn says in the opening credits where he says knowledge is the only weapon. I thought that was a kind of a cool thing as well.
Yeah, so definitely.
The idea that the dragon perhaps has to program their moves or something like that, or they've got some sort of secret information like, I need to eat or something to recharge my fuel. And there's some way that the human players can get that information. So they might have to charge out, somewhere and gather this recon from these planned moves that the dragon has. So they sort of maybe know whereabouts it's going to attack from next or where it's going to attack.
That might be a part of it there where the hidden information might be from where the dragon can attack from. Because if we have to go with specific angles, so say we went maybe a 60-degree angle type basis, which means there could be 6 points of attack for a dragon. If we know what points the dragon can attack from, that's how we have to sort of position our units.
Yeah, exactly. And you can put people behind things. You could have like little terrain.
Oh, you could have like boulders and stuff. Yeah,
so you could put your guy behind that. Oh, and you could have like kind of hit points on the guys too. So you could have, you know, like Denton could be knocked over three times or something and get back up. Whereas, you know, some like just a general soldier or something might only get knocked over one. So I think that kind of stuff, the mechanics of where they attack from and that whole combat thing, I think that's not too hard to problem solve, just because you're really just trying to think of, okay, how hard can it blow? What direction's going to blow from? So I sort of imagine
even a distance
bit like Castle Panic.
Yeah, exactly. And that's got, Castle Panic has your six different directions, and it's got four different areas before it hits the walls.
Yep.
Yeah, and that, I mean, we could represent that with distance of how far away the dragon has to be to blow as well, because a weaker dragon is obviously not going to have as big a breath as a bigger dragon. And just throwing this out there, but do you want to make this a legacy version where we can set fire to stuff as well?
So it's actually like a fire breath.
Yep.
Like the game comes with a...
yeah, like a can of deodorant and a lighter.
Yeah.
Or, you can play this a couple of times, and if you lose a character, they're gone.
The whole house goes up. The legacy edition house.
If we can make it print and play, it's not entirely off the cards. You just can't play it in Australia during summer.
I'd say you only get the fire breath, like with the you know, king dragon. But yeah, that'd be really cool.
Well, maybe you could use like a pea shooter style thing for, you know, for a fire breath attack that you can't use very often.
Do we set fire to the peas?
Well, there's like that option of like, you know, you can get that kind of smoke generator sort of stuff. You know, like you could. Possibly
dry ice or something.
We didn't want to set fire to things.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. It's probably just wishful thinking, you know, setting fire to a board game, probably not the safest thing to do.
But it's a cool idea. It's actually a cool idea. Maybe
I mean, for a legacy.
It's a little bit dangerous when combined with
deodorant.
Know, blowing across, yeah, that whole
accelerant.
Thing. The idea of, like, you know, setting things on fire is kind of cool. Like, turning to ash.
Yeah, well, I mean, from what I gathered, that's what they sort of fed on, is that they'd burn some stuff and then they'd eat the ash.
Yeah, that's almost like another kind of game in a way, you know, like a
Game
or something where you go through and you're setting them on fire.
Yes.
You know,
there's a version of Magic the Gathering that people play, it's called Iron Man. It's a gambling form, but anything that goes to the graveyard, you have to rip up. So it doesn't matter what sort of deck you play, it doesn't matter what cards you play in it. If
you
Wrath of
God...
You want
to play like a black green deck or something with like all the graveyard mechanics in it.
No, you wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't even want to play anything with lots of instants or sorceries in it, because the moment you use one, it goes straight to the graveyard. You want stuff that's reliable and doesn't die. But anyway, that's another thing. Okay, so is each player going to be given... Is this a co-op, Dan?
Yeah, so I think there'd be one dragon player, and then there'd be a sort of a co-op on the human side. So I imagine fortress or whatever.
Yeah, cool. And maybe the players could each have sort of an ability. Like, if you have one guy that... I mean, they had the guy that was really good at plumbing and hot water systems or something like that.
Yeah.
And they've got, you know, they've got engineers
guy,
and research,
guy.
Scouts. So each one could probably have some sort of, you know, a couple of different abilities that you could play on your turn. So, I mean, the engineering guy could give you, like, armor or something, which might make your base a bit heavier.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I reckon totally all those sorts of things. And I think, you know, like, even, like, extra characters, because we need people that are just going to get breezed on by the dragon. So
cannon fodder.
Yeah, that scene where Quinn goes on the horse to... Someone gets killed on the hill, and then he runs up on the horse and he's trying to repair the beacon or something.
Yep.
That's the sort of stuff I kind of imagine happening. So, like, if you use the Castle Panic sort of comparison, you know, you're actually having to send people out of the base sort of out right to the edge, you know, to repair something or put something in place or gather information on the dragon and that sort of stuff. So
yeah,
they become vulnerable.
Yep.
So you might, like, yeah, send, like, the science guy out to do that because they're better at gathering information or something, and then some people are better at combat and that sort of stuff.
And that's really interesting because they would go closer to the table edges where the dragon can breathe stronger.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you'd have, like, missions to sort of go out and, you know, do things. And you could have the cars, you know, those tanks. They could be, like, kind of more sturdy sorts of pieces, but, you know, if they get right out there and someone can blow right on them, then there's a chance that they could blow them over.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. I like the idea of sort of carving things out, like they had the sort of the mining work at the start as well, so maybe placing strategic rocks and things around in different directions might be helpful.
Yeah.
Even, like, yeah, wooden barricades or getting in cars. Like, imagine having you have a car with people in it. How can we do that with little cardboard stand-ups?
Yeah, or you could just get a custom one made. Box. Or
you stick them in a box. A little box, like, a car.
Little, yeah, and if you get blown over and they get blown over and stuff.
Yeah,
I think it'd be fun. Like, imagine them getting blown across the board, you know, if it didn't fall over. Just the
it's a gun. Form of protection too, though. Like, you could drive the car out somewhere and it is use obviously it a lot cover. More... Yeah, use it as cover. It's a lot more sturdy than just your little standee. Yeah, this is actually a really, really cool idea. All right, so if we have guys that are building barricades and we have, like, a scientist that can lay out beacons and things or monitor computers and stuff. Do they have computers? Yep. I guess they had computers. If they had a helicopter, they had a computer.
Yeah, they had, like, some sort of military kind of scanning stuff, like, to detect the dragons.
And that was my other starting player was to whoever used a CRT monitor last, because that's what they were using in the movie. Right. Then there could also be your cannon fodder. How do we arrange cannon fodder?
Well, I think you got, like, resources, you could say, like, people are sort of like workers, I think, because that was another big part in it. You know, there was, like, Quinn wanted to keep all these guys safe,
the community,
the community safe, and, you know, like, he went out and rescued those people that betrayed him and everything. You know, like, people are a kind of a resource. There's not many left. You know, you need enough left to continue the human race or whatever.
I was so cut at that guy.
Yeah, I know.
The one that ran out. Like, they're growing their crops. He's just like, just wait. You'll wreck everything. And then he goes out, a dragon burns it all. You're like, oh, you idiot.
Yeah. And then, Denton is the same. He wants people because he wants people as soldiers, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's the same sort of thing where maybe you're able to either, you know, use your people as a resource or something. So it's not just the characters, but you've got these people that you can kind of command around and say, right, you three guys go out there and do this, or, you know, you three, four people do this, or,
yep,
you know, you sort of got to use the people as a resource, I think. And so
standing together, they'd be stronger too.
Yeah, exactly. You can imagine standing them in a certain pattern.
Yep.
To try and, like, create, or even spreading them apart, you know, so that they're less likely to get hit or something.
Yeah, yeah. If someone's really, really targetable, we could even make the standee sort of like a cross section, so they're easy to blow from, like, every direction.
Yeah, you can't,
like, a target
angle them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you could totally vary how hard things were to blow over. It'd be pretty funny, because if you put, like, something pretty big on a small base, then it's in real trouble.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's what I think with people. So you'd have your main characters that are just chunkier and have more, either better stands, you know, they're harder to blow over or whatever.
Yep.
But you'd probably have to get close to the dragon in some way at the end. Like, that's something we'd have to work out, is exactly how the humans are going to then transition from this resource sort of management to actually attacking the dragon back and stuff.
Yep.
But you'd have
some. And what's
the
dragon doing all this time as well? Like, you don't want a player just sort of sitting around. Like, are we trying to make this a really fast game, so people have, maybe it could be timed.
Well, I think, yeah, it could be like a real time. But I was thinking that the dragon would, you know, would have to have it's other things it needs to do. There's sort of these instinctive things, you know, so it has to feed and it has to mate or whatever, you know, so it's still sort of having to sort of plan what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Rather than just sort of sitting around waiting to attack, it's and that's kind of part of the knowledge that the humans can gain. You know, like, okay, I'm in a... He's gone away to mate, or he's gone away to do... And it's sort of like the player, that player's trying to sort of time what they're going to do and work out where they're going to attack from based on sort of watching what the humans are up to, maybe.
Yeah, so maybe the pre-programmed movement that the dragon has, maybe they have to do something behind a screen and they get, say, 3 actions, and they pre-program that, and then the humans get to all do 1 or 2 actions each or something like that, and then you reveal it all.
Like Fury of Dracula kind of level of interaction from the other player.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that sort of... Well, you've got stuff to do, you can program your actions, and there's little surprises you can... and things you can do.
Yep.
Because you're also going to be attacking with multiple dragons and stuff as well. You know, there'll be times when you can kind of coordinate. You know, and like you say, even the possibility to have different sorts of... You know, you could have the straw for the baby dragon, and then the big dragon gets to blow with the whole mouth, but, you know, you need to power it up a bit more, or it can't attack as often or something.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, it's a big one coming in from, you know, the east or whatever. And so I think, giving the dragon player stuff to do is pretty important.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, let's try and nail down how we sort of start this game. So each player would get a certain character.
Yep.
Yeah.
And are they getting maybe like a set of cards or a set of actions that they can do? It probably needs to be cards if we're going to do sort of pre-programmed movement.
Well, I guess the dragon would... I was thinking that the human players, maybe it would sort of work almost in like a worker placement sort of way. Where you just
like
have your board.
A certain amount of humans, people to place on the board to gather more resources or take up different roles.
Maybe the players don't even get a character each. Maybe there's a set amount of characters in the middle, in the fortress, and they... Like, you have your turn, you do something. You take some of the workers from the middle, and then you put them somewhere and make them do something. So you just choose whatever.
Yeah, I think that could be kind of cool. That would be pretty quick, to the point.
Yeah,
I mean, it's something kind of nice. There's something I really like, just sort of about the idea of it sort of feeling a little bit like a Euro, kind of on that level, where you're just sort of taking your guys and you're assigning them to different locations or whatever.
Yeah, like, I mean, if we all get a turn before the dragon does anything, like, Cal might take some workers and go and mine some rock, and then I'll take Quinn and risk going out a little bit, venturing out, having a look at stuff. Which might let us reveal one of the dragon's cards, and then you might take the I don't know, engineer and build something, you know, go to the building location and build a fence that we can place somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that could be fun.
Yeah, all right. So on the board itself, do we want to do like the 6 direction thing?
Yeah, I reckon 6 directions is pretty good, yeah.
Okay, so we've got this board. So it probably is a fairly big board because we want distance to be a factor when they use their breath to blow stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, I have a massive aversion to spit, so maybe burning this game at the same time is a good idea.
People are trying to
blow their pieces over, they're going to spit all over it. Like, I don't want this game anymore.
You could use straws with, like, a little bit of cloth on the end. Like, if we're you know, hypothetically 3D printing this stuff... Yeah, you could get ones that are like the thickness of like KFC crusher sort of straws.
Or we could filter.
Or we could just invent like a bellows sort of thing or something.
True. Like you could use bellows. That would probably be good. Yeah, that would be good. Having some bellows. Oh my god, that would be the best like game component ever. Have you seen this game? It comes with bellows. Not just one set of bellows, 3 sets of bellows. Of different sizes.
Different size bellows, yeah.
I like the idea that the character playing as the dragon has a little hat with a little dragon
mask
sort of thing to wear, and like literally like stomps around the board going, rah!
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. Like,
I think that would be really good for like for kids.
Yeah, and then at the end, you've got to flick someone into his mouth.
Choke him out.
That's awesome.
You get three Heimlichs before you're dead.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay, so we've got a bunch of workers. We've got a big board. On the board, it has to have locations on it, right? So we want sort of the mines, the crops, maybe like a shed or a building shack or something like that.
Lookout.
Yeah, lookout would be good. What else could there be?
Lookout with the eagle or something? I don't know what the eagle was in the movie. There was this eagle standing there, and that was the guy that always spotted the dragons.
Yeah,
the eagle was meant
to... I think he
was
good. Good for warning people if the dragons are coming, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I like him. That's a good character. What else was there? I guess there was like a theatre. I don't know. Can you tell stories? Knowledge?
Yeah, that was funny.
Well, so if each location is going to... do we have specific types of people, of human, of resource... people, or do we assign those people jobs based on where we put them on the board?
I think with the generic people, they would have jobs based on where they're put on the board.
Yeah, but so if that's the case, what locations on the board are pretty much dictated by how many different types of jobs we want to be able to give them.
Yeah, definitely. So if we want like three barricades, it might take three people to build a barricade. So you might put nine workers there, or you put like six and a special character who knows how it's all done. Because they're special move.
We need a spot on the board that is for building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like that would be the shed.
Right, okay, yeah. So that's one area.
Yep. And we got like a lookout, and we have maybe the mine. Maybe there would be a certain area where the electronics are, so maybe an electronics shack. Another one. All different shacks on the board. There'd be the fields, so we need to eat too. So you might send people there to farm stuff. Dan was right. The theater is about morale, so we want to keep morale up in the town. Otherwise, bad stuff would happen.
Yeah, I think getting people to go out and do being able to command you guys around, I think, would be part of it.
Yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
They just refuse to do it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Or they run. In some way? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there'd probably be some sort of morale counter, and every time you send someone out or someone gets destroyed, they'd probably lose morale.
Yeah, so you could just sort of physically move some of the workers into a sort of a space, you know, where they're kind of cowed and they don't want to do anything. Yep. And then as you get more morale back, you know, you can move them back into the active worker pool or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds good. I guess we would have a turn of placing all the humans, and then the dragon would get to do stuff.
Yeah. Yep. That'd be good.
I mean, it makes sense because all the humans need to be doing stuff.
And then I do like the idea that the other player characters are sort of trying to figure out what the best place is and having the discussion about it all. Is there anything that might give each player reason to put to spread out the resources differently? Something that we can have a little bit of conflict and debate between characters.
Yeah,
about
definitely.
Where they should put the people.
I reckon if some of the characters had, I guess they got a special ability if they went to a certain location. Maybe they have two special abilities for two locations, and then you can debate whether it's better to put, Quinn here at the lookout or here in the crops.
Mm.
Yeah, and I also think that outlast or destroy thing would kind of be a big kind of arc to the whole game. So, you know, there'd be a impetus to try and just build shelters and, you know, keep your people safe or get more food. And then there'd be some point, you know, where that might turn. It might be like, we've got to find more weapons somewhere. We've got to get knowledge on the dragon.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of basically the argument that Quinn and Denton have in the movie would sort of be the argument you'd want the players to be having. Can we outlast this thing to the end, or are we going to need to kill it? You know,
and well, we probably need an organic timer. We probably need a timer for the dragons to actually kind of expire. So we could, you know, turtle down and try and outlast them while they run out of food and stuff. Or if we sort of aggravate them, or they, you know, they manage to pick off some of our humans, then they go, you know, they get a bit more rejuvenated. So, you know, from our mistakes.
Yeah, it could be just there's locations where you can just search, you know, the land. So it's like you send a scout out and, oh, wow, I found a big crate of ammo.
Yep.
You know, or you could find medical supplies, you know. So I found the weapons. Well, now it's like, well, that makes me think maybe we should take it on, you know. Or so things could happen that would create that tension between trying to outlast it or whether or not we need to destroy it.
I think that's good. So maybe on the board we have some sort of like abandoned cities or abandoned towns on the outskirts, so it make it really, really risky. But in the outskirts, yeah, you can get more weapons or even more food. And maybe we just deal out cards to the outskirts randomly at the start. So if someone actually manages to go down there and they draw up those cards, they have to get back to base safely. But we need to time that with when the dragon is sleeping or, you know, hibernating or, you know, mating or something like that.
Or so not that, blowing from that direction type.
Yeah, or not blowing, from that side. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And we could have, like, rather, you know, if it was like we didn't want to worry too much about movement, we just said, look, there's these movement places, you know, these worker placement sort of positions. We could have, you know, the road or something. And so you place guys on the road, and then that means that next turn they're able to then move, you know, to one of these cities or
whatever. Yeah, they travel down.
So they're sort of in the open for a period of time to be able to get there or something.
Awesome. That type of thing. I think we've got the workers down and where the people can sort of, what the people can do and sort of move around. We've got to work out how the dragon works.
Yep. Yeah, so, well, I guess the thing with all this stuff they're gathering together is that they're using it to feed their people. You know, that's dropping morale if they can't feed their people. The shelter's going to protect them against the dragons. Weapons, we're going to have to work out how to get the weapons that are going to beat the dragon. But the knowledge they're gathering of what the dragon's going to do and that sort of stuff. You know, the early warning systems give players a chance to move a number of workers back into the base or something, so the lookout could, you know, depending on who you've got in the lookout, you may be able to move players back into the base or something like that.
That's,
you know,
a good idea.
A certain number of them or whatever.
Or even move them just closer so that the bellows don't affect them so much.
Yeah, some fallback position. So I think that's, I think then when the dragon attacks, if we go with the multiple bellows concept, you know, we could, I think that the dragon attacks could be pretty simple, that part of it for the dragon, where when it's the dragon's turns, they're just like, right, here I go, this is dexterity, you know, I'm going to get one blast, or maybe they've saved up two blasts or three blasts or something.
Yeah,
the dragon's going to have to sort of decide how much of its fuel it's going to use or whatever.
Fuel, that's a good idea.
To recharge its breath weapons and stuff.
Yeah, so it might only waste, you know, a small bellows and it doesn't affect it at all, but medium bellows, it might have to regen that fuel.
Yep.
And then does that regen over time, or does the dragon have to make an attack on the city and eat people, or...
I would say it's probably over time, but it has excess, so even if it uses the medium bellows, it still it could use it again straight away, but it's just using up more fuel that it has to regen later.
Yeah.
And then maybe there's ways it could kind of pump it up, you know, like if it can
by
attack
feeding
the crops and eat those, then it lets it gain more breath weapon.
Yeah, maybe even like you could sacrifice a little dragon to feed a bigger dragon.
Yeah. Yep. So I think the dragon player will have all these sorts of resources and choices about where they're going to spend their, you know, energy, I suppose. And then the breath attack would be sort of the main thing it would would be doing as far as disrupting the actual board, you know, and affecting that.
What if the dragons, and I'm going to pluralize that, is randomized, because you don't necessarily have the same dragons to attack every single time. So, I mean, there should at least be three different size dragons, because like, only the biggest dragon should be able to use the big bellows. You can't get a little dragon that uses the big bellows. But maybe the player, the dragon player, at the start of their turn gets dealt, you know, a few dragon cards, and that determines what he's able to do with his turn. Because, yeah, because otherwise, you know, you can't just play one dragon.
Yeah, no, I think he has to have certain limits, yeah, he's working with.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, good. He might get dealt three little dragons and he can't really do much with them, so he...
Or he could choose to, you know, use those because there's a specific thing that's vulnerable on the board to, you know, that he could do. Or he could use them to go in and burn the crops and feed or whatever to sort of build their strength or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think if there were choices, I think it's that thing, if you want to sort of give the dragon player choices between just all out attack and trying to destroy them, or kind of going about its own business and just building up its strength and, you know, like making more dragons or, you know, that type of thing. Sort of like in the movie again where, you know, it attacks the crops and then they run away and they say, oh, look, it doesn't even care about us. It just wants
the crops.
Ash or whatever.
Yep.
So I think there's a kind of a, it sort of has to have a bit of a feel where it's not just about, right, the dragon's going to attack us and try and kill us in this first thing. You know, the start, it sort of feels like, you know, you can go out and do your stuff and the dragon's out there, you got to watch out for it. But the dragon's sort of building up its own kind of game as well, I think, towards the end of it. You know, just building up towards the end, whatever, turn six or whatever, when it's able to sort of put all its plans into action, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's cool. I think we have something here.
Yeah, I think it sounded pretty good.
I still want to set fire to it.
Well, I mean, we can just say please don't set fire to it, but if you wanted to, here's how you could. You know, like this is where the aerosol can would attach to the bellows.
Yeah, definitely. You can fill the bellows with some
if
sort of flammable gas. This, just think about it. This would be the only game that comes with bellows, a lighter, and fuel.
Oh, no.
Yeah, or it could be one of those, like, you know, the little squeezy bag thing, the little rubber ball, you know, those where you squeeze it. It's like
and
a,
the ball pops
like
out?
Like the doctors have on their, you know, on the air pressure, the blood pressure things, you know, where they, it's like just a little squeezy ball sort of thing where they, you know, the blood pressure armbands.
Oh, yeah, 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 like a puffer.
And you sort of, yeah, puffer sort of thing. Like we could have three of those, like if the bellows prove to be, you know, a little bit expensive to make.
Oh, I don't care. This is all for fun anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I designed a game the other day with lasers in it, right? So.
Yeah, it seemed like overkill, but...
I reckon it's cool. You could detail the bellows, you could draw little dragons on them.
You could make little dragon things that where like you where the bellows inside it and you push the tail down.
Exactly.
And it blew out the mouth, yeah. It could be really cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, I don't know. I think that's it. I mean, there's obviously more that we could do, but
yeah.
Look, I mean,
no, I think that's pretty good wrap up. I think that's a solid concept for a game. And I tell you what, if anyone wants to make this one, I would definitely help with that. Different bases and bellows and possibly lighters.
This is going to take
awesome.
A lot of testing. But it'll be worth it.
Yeah, it
I guess the
be
only
worth
thing,
it.
The only thing maybe we quickly should just say is like, how would the players actually defeat the dragon if they're going to attack it? Would it be like a dexterity thing where suddenly they start launch? You know, they've got a catapult and they can start firing humans at the dragon or into its mouth or.
I guess any component. Attacks that the humans do on the dragon would reduce the amount of sustainability they have. So if we have that marker where the dragon's trying to survive and every time they sort of feed or you know, eat a human, it goes up. But if the humans hit it, it could go down. And you're trying to outlast them.
Yeah, but that's, there's something sort of cool too about just taking all those little cubes and starting to fire them. It's like, well,
that's true.
I've got food here and I can use it as food, or I can just fire it at the dragon. And, you know, like that total desperation of, let's get to that point, you know.
Maybe the humans could have like a little axe token, like a cardboard axe, and they have to use the axe and they have to hit the food at it.
Yeah, like golf.
Yeah, like golf, yeah. And aim it at the dragon.
But then, so is the dragon then being represented by the bellows, or is the dragon being represented by the other person?
I reckon the bellows, because I reckon the size of the bellows is a factor here. If you're going to be the big dragon and you use the big bellows, he's going to get hit by stuff because he's bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like the idea of hitting little cubes at people on the table.
You just throw it at the guy that's running around in the top hat snarling?
Yeah, exactly.
You missed.
Stop. Get out of here, dragon.
Anyway, where can we find you, Cal?
Oh, you can find me at thevideoshop.com.au. That's where all the good stuff is. And, all the other shows that I do.
Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. It's at Callan Jenkins, but I can't be bothered spelling it, and I never use it. So just go to or at Video Shop Pod, actually, is the Video Shop one. Sam does most of the stuff with that, so bother him.
Yeah, okay. And where can we find you, Dan?
I've got a website, which is danmay.com, and I'm on Twitter as Game Art Creative.
Excellent. And that's another successful Dice Hard episode. Thanks a lot, guys.
That's another game by the Dice Hard crew. You can see, read, and ask questions on the Facebook group Dice Hard Discussions. Alex can be found on Twitter at BlueRoomBG and at winter.persona.co. You can follow Dice Hard at VideoShopPod on Twitter and see the complete Video Shop Network at thevideoshop.com.au.